Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go!
Happy Thursday, everyone, and welcome into the Gramlich and McLean podcast brought to you by Traeger Grills. We have a very exciting guest today, a Virginia Cavalier. We've had on, I think, only one other Virginia Cavalier, Eric McLean, when we had on Charles Snowden back in football season. But we are super excited to welcome Jay Huff to the podcast today.
He was so much fun, Kelly. The Hoonicorn, if you will. That's what he goes by on his Instagram, which when you told me that, I was dying laughing. But Kelly, when you're 7'1", 7'2", 7'3", whatever he is, and you can dribble, pass, shoot, and just really flick it like he can, you get the title of a Hoonicorn. And I have no disgruntle. I have no argument with that at all.
He's very unique on the court, as you've said, Mac, but he's also very unique off the court. And that was really fun to get to know him better, to talk about how he's become such a leader on the Virginia campus, talk about his faith, talk about the fact that he is a married college basketball player, which you don't see every day.
It's a little bit rare, but before we jump into his true intro here, let me tell you guys a little bit of our great friends over at Traeger Grills. As always, Traeger is cooking up something amazing. And this week, they have launched their new Apple Watch Traeger app. You now have the ability to control your Traeger grill right on your wrist. With this app, you'll be able to control the grill temperature, check the meat probes to see where you are in the cooking process, and even activate the keep warm mode. And why that's important? If you're out hiking, if you're out doing any other activities, if you're out playing basketball and you're not going to be back in time, you can just hit that, keep it warm. And if you have an Apple Watch, guys, I highly encourage you download this app, check it out, because it just adds to the endless possibilities on a Traeger, making it even easier to use this grill. Find your local Traeger by visiting TraegerGrills.com/ACC. And once you've browsed around the site, you've selected your pellet grill of your dreams, use our code ACC Sports for free shipping on your entire order.
Traeger's getting all high tech on us now, Mac. We love it with the Apple Watch. That is amazing. So let's talk about Jay Huff here. Jay Huff is just the second current student athlete to join our podcast. He is definitely the tallest guest that we have ever had. The 7'1" senior center is currently averaging 13.3 points per game, 6.8 boards per game, 2.5 blocks per game, while shooting an astounding 61% from the field, 44% from three, and 80% from the free throw line. More on that in my craziness of the week at the end of the pod. The Cavaliers are poised to make another run at an ACC title and Final Four this season.
Guys, listen, Huff has put in his time at Virginia. He was a reserve on the Cavaliers national title team back in 19, and now he's developed into one of their best players, and quite frankly, one of the best players in the ACC. He's a true leader for this Virginia campus and is one of college basketball's few players who's actually married in the entire country. Jay has also already earned his undergraduate degree in youth, social, innovation, and religion. Jay is getting it done on and off the court, KG.
It's time for our tallest guest. Let's get to it.
This week's guest is brought to you by Traeger Grills. Welcome to the Traegerhood.
Jay, first of all, thank you so much for joining us. We know, look, it's mid-February, okay? I was in college a little while ago, not very long ago, but mid-February is kind of that grind for basketball players because you can see the tournament coming. But you're still playing conference games. So how are you? How is your team feeling at this point in the season?
Yeah, we're good. I mean, it's weird just that, like, with a season like this where, you know, you're kind of just going to the gym and going back to the apartment to do school online. Like, used to, I mean, I had a lot of friends that most of them have graduated by this point. I've still got a few friends around, but, like, not going to go out and, like, just grab a meal together or anything like that or meet up at someone's house and watch a movie. Like, used to, there was a lot that you could do to, like, I guess, kind of refresh yourself and mm-hmm. just, like, get a break from practice. And I'm one of the lucky ones that, you know, I got married, so I now live with someone other than my teammates. But I tell you what, after the season, I feel like we're all going to need about a month-long break from each other.
I love that. I think it's very interesting just to see different people's perspective, right? We've had two student athletes on here now. You're the second. The first was Charles Snowden. And
current student athletes, yeah.
That's right. And just looking at it from their perspective. And he just said it's literally schoolwork to the weight room, to the football field, to home. And same thing that you just said, it's basketball, school, and home. And there's no stepping away. There's no unplugging. I mean, it's almost 24/7. Has it been, I know it's been difficult, but just talk to me about how it's been difficult and why that it's literally 24/7 right now and the sacrifices that you guys are having to make.
I mean, what I just said, it's just there's not much else to do. I mean, you think about, like, especially in the wintertime, in the springtime or in the prior to the cold part of the winter, you can at least get outside a little bit. These days, it's, especially in Charlottesville right now, it's pretty frosty. There's actually supposed to be maybe like 6 inches of snow tonight. For some reason, it's been a really snowy winter in Charlottesville, which kind of sucks timing-wise. Usually, it's not that snowy here. And like the first snow that hit, some of my teammates actually got together and had a big snowball fight.
Come on.
I unfortunately wasn't able to make it, but it looked pretty fun. I saw some videos and it was pretty fantastic. They even brought it inside a little bit. And I was glad I missed that part because I didn't want my apartment getting trashed. But no, I mean, there's stuff to do sometimes, but typically it's just, you know, picking up food or using DoorDash and, you know, cooking some. We've tried to cook more. Watched a lot of reruns of a lot of Friends episodes.
Yes.
For some reason, Hulu only shows the same few episodes over and over and over again. Like, they show different episodes at different times, some of them live, some of them like on demand, but there's not that much variety. So my wife and I have been watching, and eventually we got to the point where, like, they're showing the same ones.
You guys start quoting everything that they're about to say.
No, seriously. It's ridiculous.
I love it. I love it. Let's move more to you as a player and looking, you know, last year playing a ton, starting more than half the games, averaging close to 9 points, 6 rebounds. Now you've taken another step and 13-7 around that area. And some people, even us on this pod, have talked about, you know, ACC player of the year hype and talk about making that jump in your game without a normal offseason, without, you know, going through the normal gym time. I mean, we talked to a coach a couple of weeks ago, just seeing how guys can't just go to the gym like they would want to. So talk to us about how you've been able to make this awesome improvement in your game.
Well, like you said, I mean, that's one of the things that's been the worst about even like during the season. Used to, we could go hang out at JPJ, the arena, wherever, whenever we want. We could go shoot whenever, you know, even just hang out there. Now it's like there's certain times where we're allowed to. And when we are, we're supposed to be wearing these little chips that record how long you're like within 6 feet of someone. And it's just weird. Like, it's just a weird experience. We have a sleep room at JPJ where we used to be able to like take naps during the day. Can't really use that anymore. It's not quite the same. Used to, I'll be the first to admit, I spent a couple nights at JPJ when I was up late writing a paper. I would just be like, I don't even want to go home. So I would just sleep in the sleep room on like one of the bunk beds or on the couch or something. And
I love it.
It was a good place to study. There's snacks and all that. But now it's like, you know, you're not able to do that. But yeah, just in terms of being able to get in the gym, I was lucky. I was able to find a place back home. I won't say where, because I think it was cleared that we were going there, but there were weird rules about gyms that you could use and stuff. So I'm not even going to get into that, but it was a small gym. It was technically a dojo, but it had a half court basketball court as well, with like one of those rubber tile courts.
Oh, wow.
That you see in like a church or something like that. And the sidelines were about as narrow as you could get. The corner three wasn't really doable for me with, you know, my feet being the size that they are. It was not able to fit, really. But top of the key, I was able, or around the top of the key, not necessarily the top of the key, because there was an air conditioning duct right up the middle. So
this is dedication right here.
I'm seeing right now is George Mikan, you know, layup drill back and forth. Yeah. That's all you're doing in that gym.
No, I mean, we were able to get work done. I worked with a guy named Bob McKinnon, who's been around the NBA a lot, in the G League, and on many a NBA team as well, just in terms of being a coach, assistant coach, that type of thing. And we got a lot of shots up. It wasn't ideal. There were some shots that we couldn't take, like the top of the key. But we just got a lot of work done in the time that we had. Me and a few other guys that were, you know, in my area, he worked with us. in a way, you know, we were all ACC players, actually. Not anymore. One of them transferred, but, you know, we were all doing the same thing. We were quarantining. Those guys fished a lot. And I was at home just doing what I do with my family. But I wasn't going anywhere. I wasn't, you know, risking anything, and neither were they. So it was a COVID safe way to do it. But yeah, I mean, it was weird. So I was lucky to have gym time, but there are a lot of guys I know that weren't necessarily able to find that consistently.
That is really cool, actually, that you were able to have kind of a gym and even work out with some guys. Yeah. My husband and I were trying to go play horse during quarantine, just trying to find a hoop outside, because you're trying to get outside. Oh, they had taken down the hoop. I couldn't believe it when I saw the rims just taken down.
Oh, my brother-in-law said that he was, he goes to Tech, actually, Virginia Tech.
Oh no.
And drama. He said that
hold on. How does that go down in the family? Like, do y'all talk or?
We still give him such a hard time about it. But yeah, so he said that he was, you know, at Tech, and they have courts outside, but they took the rims off, and it's like
crazy. It was such a weird thing to see. It was very jarring.
That was so honestly, sad too,
I know, like, it just made me sad. It's like, where's the rim?
At least you could go outside, but not even then. I'm like,
right.
They took that away. Yeah. Some of it, I mean, if I couldn't get in the gym, then I would just do ball handling in the garage or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was able to find other things to do to work out, like not necessarily getting in a weight room, but like we bought a nice axe and I was able to chop a lot of wood.
Come on, with that beard, you could chop down a whole forest with that thing. Come on.
I chopped a fair amount of wood, and my dad and I went, there's a golf course, you know, 5-10 minutes away from our house, and they chopped down a tree, and we just went by, and my dad was like, oh yeah, it's just some stumps. My dad lied. We almost threw our backs out, messed up my truck. Those were some seriously big pieces of wood that we stole.
That is amazing. That is awesome.
Oh yeah, man, this is great.
We used them for whatever. Just I chopped some of them up or didn't really get very far on some of them. But
some stump squats, perhaps?
Yeah. I mean, there were just stuff like that, just stuff that you do to, you know, stay in shape, do stuff like that, run hills, like just, you got to do what you got to do. It was weird though.
Right.
Did you have a flannel cutoff while you were doing this? What was the outfit choice?
I really thought about wearing the flannel.
A 7-foot lumberjack. Now that's what we need. That's what the world needs right there.
Oh yeah. If professional sports goes to crap because of COVID and there's just nothing to do, maybe I'll get into
there you go. Industry. That's right.
I love this. You got to keep your options open. 84
lumber, here we come, baby. Come on.
Got to.
Got to keep your options open. Speaking of the off season, you guys are still the defending national champions. You know, that's one way to look at it. You guys are. And you have such a unique experience. We actually interviewed Luke May recently about this, where he was on a team that lost in the national title, and then the next year they won. Yeah. You guys lost in the first round, which we know, I mean, you can talk about as much as you want, but I know that it was just a crazy experience. And then the next year you go win it all. So I know it's tough to explain that experience to us, but just tell us more about what that journey was like.
Oh, it was weird. I mean, the UMBC game was not my fault. I didn't play.
So. Right. But you were on the team. Yeah.
I love team, that. Yes,
we will not blame you, Jay.
No. And then the next year I was able to play a little bit more. I felt like I contributed along the way. I didn't play as much in the actual national championship game, but it was still fun to, you know, be a part of that team and to contribute. And it's, you know, it was a really wild experience. And then going into last season, you know, it seemed like we had a chance. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, no more ACC tournament, no more NCAA tournament, go home. And that was a bummer just because we were playing so well. Not even just because the season ended the way it did, but it felt like we were on a really good run. And I felt like we had a chance again. So hopefully we'll be able to get through the rest of this season. Obviously, you never know what's going to happen next week. So,
Jay, could you run through, I'm sure you guys were at the ACC tournament, and then it's just like, okay, no more basketball. I mean, number one, that tournament. And then number two, like, did they just send y'all home for Virginia? Did you stay there? Like, what was that like?
So it's crazy. We were watching Mamadi was my roommate on the road, which we don't have roommates anymore. So that's weird to think about. But Mamadi Diakite, he was my roommate on the road. And we were watching, I believe, the Utah Jazz game that was going on.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're like we're watching and they're like, everyone's going back to their locker room. We don't know why. What's going on? We'd heard about this weird virus thing that, you know, was in some other countries, but it wasn't here. And then all of a sudden it's like, they're done. The NBA is done. So we, you know, we go to sleep that night and we're like, okay. And they're like using more hand sanitizer the next morning at breakfast and stuff. Like, yeah, just wear hand sanitizer, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, we get to shoot around, and on the way to shoot around, we're like, we're not sure this is going to happen. I was calling it the night before when they shut down the NBA. I was like, yeah, it's not happening. I'm ready to pack it up and go home. And during shoot around, we were just kind of waiting for the word. And then after shoot around, it's like, yeah, we're done. Time to go. Like, they came to the huddle at the end of the shoot around. And I think they got word of it like mid shoot around, but didn't really want to just send us all home. So after that, we played a big game of knockout just for the heck of it. And then who won
the knockout?
It might've been Sam, but I honestly don't remember. I forget. There was like the whole staff too. So it was like the staff, players.
One last run.
Yeah, exactly. It was weird. And then, you know, we pack it up and it's like, okay, the ACC tournament's canceled. They're not going to reschedule it. NCAA tournament's canceled. And we get back and, you know, we just all kind of have like a debrief meeting when we get to JPJ, and they're like, yeah, we'll keep in contact about everything like that. On the way out, actually, I remember Kirk Penny, he was one of our coaches last year. He didn't come back just due to the virus situation. He's in New Zealand. And I remember him saying something about, oh, it'll be, you know, 2 weeks and this will all blow over. And every time I think about that, I'm like, why'd you have to say it out loud? You didn't knock on wood. Nothing.
It's all his fault.
We all kind of thought that, though. I did think, though, when the NBA shut down, Jay, I was so on board with you. I thought, that's it.
Yeah.
This is for real. That everyone thought that. That was kind of the sign.
And it was just like, you never know. I had no idea what the implications were. At that point, we weren't even wearing masks. It was like, you know, hand sanitizer, you know, do what you can, yada, yada, yada. But yeah, now we've gotten so much more advanced with that. But it's, it's just weird. It was a very, very weird experience. So right when we got back that night, I was just like, well, forget this. I'm going home. So I packed up a bag and drove home to see my family. Was able to spend a lot of time there. It was the longest spring break I've ever had.
Right. It's a difficult time that, you know, everybody has tried to do their best. And I'm just happy that we're here. Like you said, hopefully we get to keep playing. I want to talk to you about Virginia's brand of basketball and so many different people. It's funny. It's almost a 50-50. I feel like there is no in between. You either think that it's boring and the defense just overwhelms you and the offense is what it is, or there's people like me who love it and think it's a great way to play basketball. What is it, you know, from your perspective, what is Virginia basketball?
Like you said, it's a lot different than what most people do. I mean, you even look at the NBA, they're scoring about four times as many points as we do per game sometimes. It's crazy. And, you know, even before I came here, I don't think I realized the degree to which we focused on that and the, you know, just the amount of effort put into that and just the slow pace that we play at. I mean, it's, I don't think there's anybody around that would say that we play fast, even if they love our system. So, you know, it's something that it was a lot different than what I did in high school, but it's weird because you can't say necessarily that a system is wrong if it works. And, you know, I think when I was in high school, I would have said, oh, I like to play a little bit faster basketball, but really it just depends on the system and how well you run it. Our system, once you buy in and once you've become a part of it for so long, it works. There's also plenty of fast systems that work, but the way we do things at UVA has worked for so long is the way that things are here. And it is what it is. And I've grown to really appreciate it and love it, even though part of me sometimes does want to play a little bit faster. But I think that the moment you start thinking, all right, we're going to run a little faster, run our offense a little bit faster, try to get on more fast breaks than we normally do. While it works to an extent, if you try to get out of what we do, then you're going to mess it up.
So it's a good way of putting it. I'm really curious about matchups. I love asking players about this, and you've played in the ACC for a while, so you've seen a lot of different players come through. What are some of your favorite matchups in the league just for you from your position? Like, I'm going up against this guy tonight. I'm pumped about this matchup from a competitive standpoint, both this year and then in your past couple of years.
UNC was a really fun one, actually, this past game that we played against them.
I bet that was fun for y'all, Jay.
I was going to say that. Yeah, I bet you had so much fun.
So I had a good game, but that was the first good game against UNC I've had in a while. They've got really good bigs, and you know they run a really good system. They run really fast, and they're big and strong. And I remembered that game the next day. I was tired. But it was, it was a great, great matchup. Those guys are all good guys. I know some of them. And it's cool being around the ACC for so long, even guys that you don't really know, you kind of develop a respect for, so that when you see them, when you get there, it's like, you know, you can kind of catch up a little bit. Stephon Mitchell's another one, played against him. He didn't get to play against us this year, but the year before we played, and just, I really respect his game. He's just a big hustle guy. And so it was cool getting to catch up with him a little bit after. So I'd say some of those guys are some of my favorite matchups. We haven't played every team in the ACC yet. Georgia Tech is another one. Moses Wright, really tough player. And, you know, both games, we each had kind of a similar game the time that we played them. Like the first game, we went back a little bit back and forth scoring wise. And then the last game, I think we had like 6 and 8 respectively or something. It was more like just defense that we played that game. So it's those are a fun matchup as well.
I love it. It's fun to hear that, especially when we kind of have our idea. You know, you can see the guys either going back and forth or just, you know, one guy will go down and score. Then Jay's like, give me the rock. I've got to do it. I've got to score right back on him. So that's fun to kind of hear that straight from you. I want to talk about your faith a little bit and know that you're super involved with FCA. You're a strong man of faith. How is, you know, that been just transitioning to the college game and to college on your own? I mean, a lot of people, you know, your parents are taking you to church every Sunday. You know, they're telling you, you've got to do this. How was it for you when you really made that transition?
I think for me, it wasn't that hard in terms of like trying to figure out what I wanted to do, because I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to find a church. I wanted to find like a fellowship. I was in FCA more. Early on, I actually was a little bit more involved in Chi Alpha, which is a Christian fellowship on grounds. It sounds like a fraternity. I promise it's not. And then, you know, even in high school, I was leader of FCA, and me and my friends from that, from back in high school in FCA, we're still close to this day, which is really fun. We still keep up. Whenever I go home, we try to hang out. And it was cool just finding other people like that. Finding a group to get involved with, you know, the guys that were in my Bible study in Chi Alpha, we're still close. And those guys, a lot of those guys were at my wedding. A lot of those guys were, you know, just, they've been around for a while and we like to catch up from time to time. And they were a big, big part of my faith, honestly, because I even said this to the pastor of Chi Alpha. I told him that, you know, there's a lot of good pastors out there and, you know, I love your preaching, but you're not the reason that I'm like sticking around. And I told him that jokingly, but like, that's what he wanted. It's like the fellowship that we have is, I think, more important than preaching, just because there are so many good preachers that you can find.
That's awesome to hear that and to hear about kind of your journey there. And how about with, you know, Coach Bennett too? I mean, being a very strong man of faith himself, I see so many different, you know, just similarities between him and, you know, my coach Dabo Swinney at the time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's based because of who they are and, you know, men of God and have very similar views. So that's how they handle situations. How's that playing for a coach that just feels so strongly about his faith?
You said it, like the way he runs the program, he has the five pillars. It's like, it's built into the program that, and, you know, we have our team chaplain, George Morris, who's involved in FCA, but he's specifically with football and basketball. He and his wife, Mabel, helped us with our pre-engagement counseling. They did our pre-engagement counseling.
That's so cool. Awesome.
My wife, which was really cool. Just having someone like that involved in the basketball program was really, really cool. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just the way Coach Bennett handles losses, handles winning. It's very Christ-like, which is really cool.
Yeah. The support system is so big. Like that was huge for me coming to college and being away from home, just finding a support system of people who are also walking in faith is huge. And that's kind of the biggest piece of advice I would give anyone when they're heading off to college. You are a married college basketball player.
Yep.
This is rare. Now, It's only rare now because it's 2021. Now, it wasn't rare, you know, years ago, but what is that like? Tell me more about that.
Yeah, it's different to say the least. Like, even it's funny, like hearing teammates talk about like their girlfriends and like what they're doing and stuff like that. I like to give them a hard time or just joke around like, haha, you have a girlfriend. Knowing full well that I'm the married man that is like way beyond that. But no, I mean, it's great. And it's, like I said, it's actually great. No offense to my teammates, but living with them, going to practice with them, going back to living with them after like that, in a time like this would not be particularly fun. I'd get tired of them. And, you know, it's great just being able to come home, or when she comes home from Bible studies where they meet like social distance and everything like that. But like when she comes home, it's just great, you know, having someone else outside of the basketball program to just be able to spend time with and talk to and watch movies with. And even just like the process of figuring out when we were going to get married was a lot of fun figuring it out. So it was not planned this way. We weren't planning on getting married until after this school year, but obviously plans change.
Very cool. Well, I was honestly doing a little Instagram stalking. So, you know, we'll all be honest here. I think you guys got married in October. Is that right?
September.
Okay. So I was supposed to get married in July. We still got married, but we moved the wedding to this year. What was that process like? What was the reasoning for moving it up there?
So, you know, we started thinking about it. We got engaged in May and we were like, okay, we'll get married next year. And then we started thinking about it. We're like, okay, we're not sure where she's going to live. It looks like this whole COVID
right
is going to be around for a while. Our season will very likely be in a, you know, relative bubble. She at the time lived in a house with 15 other girls. It was a Christian house. Wild.
So you can't be going in there if you're getting tested all the time. Like that is a very complicated situation. You guys are probably one of the few that have had to deal with that in the country. Yeah. Maybe
it was difficult thinking through that. I was like, okay, there's no way that's going to work. We'll figure it out. We're not going to not see each other, but you know, might from time to time have to social distance depending on her house's situation. And the more we thought about it, along with, you know, thinking towards this coming off season for me with potential NBA stuff or pro stuff, whatever. We talked to the guy I was working with as my agent at the time. And he was like, yeah, we have no idea what the schedule is going to be. We got nothing. No idea. So we're like, well, when are we going to plan this wedding? Because we don't want to plan the wedding. It's like combine's coming up, or you got a workout, you got this and that. And it's like, I can't just be like, oh, can we reschedule that? Cause no, like there was right. No. So we start thinking about it more and more, and it's like, well, Lindsay could live in a house or an apartment by herself. That sounded super lame. I went through the process and like, do I buy her a cat? And like, we just figured that out. And then it was like, we might as well. And we, you know, we kind of started talking about like, okay, what if we planned it for like September? Like, you know, we kind of had to go through that process of figuring out when we were going to, like if we wanted to get married that early and what that would look like. And I was on board mainly because most of my friends had already graduated. It wasn't as hard of a decision for me. She still has friends around that she's figured out how to see them socially distanced, et cetera. But that was hard. So it was a little bit different for her, but I think we both came to realize that it was the right decision because none of the other options seemed like they would be great in terms of being able to see each other consistently. Add that to the fact that we found the wedding venue that we wanted and the one date that would work.
That's key.
Everything started lining up like that.
Yeah.
Like stuff with, you know, a caterer that we found that was great, super safe. Our wedding party could make it. Everything like that, it was lining up. And it almost very, like towards like the week or 2 weeks before the wedding, it was almost like we might not be able to do this because the president of the university sent out an email. It was like limited gatherings to 15 or fewer, etc. And so we were like, we were both watching the video. Lindsay and I were both watching the video together. And it was like, I was like, oh man, that's a bummer. Like, what are they going to do about like you know, Bible studies and stuff like that, that are meeting socially distanced. And then she gave me a look like, oh,
what about our wedding?
The wedding that we have coming up. Oh, crap. So it took me a second to realize, oh, that's a bad idea. Cause it was like under penalty of suspension, basically. Like it wasn't a recommendation. It was like, you know, don't do this. Or if we find out, like, it's a wrap for your academic year. So
you're out of here.
Now that's a headline you don't see every day.
Right.
Yeah, that wouldn't have been good. So we had to like contact the president through someone in our athletic department. They like called him for us.
Oh, wow.
Hey, like there's this wedding plan. And so we got like the presidential pardon basically to have the wedding as long as we like kept it off social media. So like nobody was getting the wrong idea.
Wow. Look, okay. I feel a bond with you because there are people, if you haven't tried to get married during 2020, then I don't even know you. Like,
no sympathy.
You know, Jay, yeah. We are on the same page here.
Well, with wedding, I mean, when we decided to get married, it was like 2 months until the wedding date.
Oh, man. Yeah. See, that's crazy.
Yeah, that was, and I was, I guess just uninformed about how much goes into wedding planning because I was like,
you men always are.
And then we started getting into all the details, and I was like, oh my goodness gracious,
how are we gonna do it?
Your wife sounds like a superstar that she was able to put all that together.
And I mean, I helped when I could, but it was also like stuff that, you know, needed to look good. You know,
yeah, you just kind of need to be on the sidelines for that. Just be supportive, but you know.
Yeah, I'm colorblind. I wasn't even going to help. So I was there to support. I would, you know, do what I could. I would, you know, go run around and pick stuff up for it. But I was in the planning committee.
I love it. Hey, like Coach Greenberg says, it's about the three S's when you're the man in the wedding. You just smile, say yes, and sit. And that's it. That's all you got to do when you're doing wedding planning things.
It's
if
true.
If you do all those things, you'll be just fine.
And like, it's funny because we've seen a couple articles that have come out after we've talked about this, and we don't want it to come across like, oh, the guy's just there and the wife planned everything. And, you know, it's the super domestic, like.
Right.
Christian marriage. Like, no, like I did what I could and it wasn't like.
That's right.
Like. Whatever. It's not like we're just that stereotypical 1950s domestic couple, but like that's just how it played out.
And I feel like there isn't much that's stereotypical about you guys. Like it's a very unique story.
Oh man, Jay, before we let you get out of here, man, I want to bring it back to Virginia basketball really quickly and just talk about the standard that you guys have set and the fact that it's ACC championship, it's Final Four, it's national champion. I mean, that's what we talk about, I'm sure, in team meetings, in pre-meetings, all these different things. What is it going to take for Virginia to get back to the Final Four, to win another championship this year?
I think a lot of it is just doing what we do consistently. I mean, we're getting to the part of the year where every game matters, and eventually it's win or go home. So I firmly believe that we can beat any team in the country if we're, you know, doing what we need to do and if we're playing the right defense that we need to play. I think that we can do that. I don't think that that's out of the question. I think that it'll be difficult and it'll be a hard road and we're not going to have an easy go of it, but we didn't have an easy road the year we won the championship either. So it was just, that's the way it always is in college basketball, especially this year, anybody can beat anybody. So, you know, it's interesting thinking about, you know, obviously we've lost some games pretty big, obviously Florida State, we lost that game big, but I think that on a different night we could beat them. Same thing happened last year where, you know, we lost them at their place and then we beat them when they played at our place. So it really just depends on the night with most teams in the ACC. So as long as we do what we need to do, I think we can do it.
I'm really curious about that. I know Max said before we let you run, but I got one more here.
All good.
I'm very curious about that because it's weird. And I know Florida State is notoriously good at home. I mean, that's their thing. But I feel like in general, they have fans. There's some Clemson is having fans. You guys aren't having any fans.
We have player guests, but not many.
Okay, player guests. Yeah. But even this year, when there's very minimal fans, I feel like teams in general are still playing a lot better at home. Do you have any sort of explanation for that? Because you guys are going through the road trip and the protocol and all that. Is that a factor? Like, help me understand that.
You don't know either.
it's weird. Like thinking about that now, it makes sense that you say that. I just don't really know why. I mean, maybe it's just because it's where we spend like all of our time other than our apartments. Yeah, I don't know. That's a great point. I hadn't honestly thought about that too much, but I mean, we are typically good at home, but even without the home court advantage, it's just the court that you're used to, the rims that you're used to, you know, the depth perception even. I don't know. That's never really been a huge factor to me, but I know it is for some people. So
it's been so interesting to see, because you'd think, oh, there's not fans. What's the deal? But I think the numbers in the ACC are actually more stark than other leagues where the home teams are winning more games. So who the heck knows?
I don't know. That's weird.
Thanks for attempting to answer that, Jay. I appreciate it.
Right. I didn't have much, but.
Well, Jay, this was so much fun, man. Thank you for joining the podcast.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. Take care, guys.
That's it from our Traeger Grills guest of the week. Guys, what an awesome interview. It was so much fun learning more about Jay, his personal life. I mean, a true man of faith, family, and then basketball. It was a ton of fun talking to him. Big shout out to Virginia Athletic Department hooking us up with two of their student athletes. They make it really easy for us. Thank you guys so much if you're listening to this pod. And I got to tell you more about our guys over at Traeger Grills. You guys need to buy a Traeger grill. I find myself all the time answering DMs, Kelly, about why is Traeger so great? Why are they so good? Why do I need to buy this? And I'm just telling you guys, it is a game changer. They can do so many different things. It's a 6-in-1 technology. It can truly do it all. It's an amazing grill. So once you go buy your Traeger, download their app on your watch, find them on social media. They're always posting great recipes. They actually have a really funny commercial out right now that it kind of has Nike vibes, where the grill is like following the family home. It's really funny how they do that. But there's just great inspiration everywhere across their social media and on the app there. So do yourself a favor. Go check it out. Go check out Traeger, because I'm telling you, it's a lot of fun. All right, Kelly, I say this every week. I can talk about Traeger for hours. Let's move on to our ACC of the week, brought to you by our great friends over at Sunshine Beverages. Kelly, you start us off with your athlete.
My athlete of the week plays for the number 2 team in the country on the women's side. It's Jakia Brown Turner from NC State. She is a sophomore. Mac, I think the sky is the limit for her. I think she is a potential future ACC player of the year. That's how good she is. Last week, look at what she did in wins at Wake Forest and versus North Carolina. At Wake Forest, she had 21 points. She had 5 rebounds. She shot 2 of 3 from beyond the arc, 9 of 14 from the field. She shot over 60% from the field in both of these games. She's a guard. That is not normal. And then in the win against North Carolina, where NC State got revenge, she had 25 points, 6 boards, was 4 for 5 from the three, shot 63% from the field. So her numbers for the week were absolutely tremendous. She was one of my shooters of the week. Her game is complete. She can do everything. She can shoot the three. She can take you off the bounce. She's a great passer. She has a lot of poise at the guard spot. And I think Jakia Brown Turner is emerging as one of the best players in the ACC. She's going to be very important for NC State if they want to make a Final Four run. So Jakia Brown Turner is my athlete of the week.
Come on, Kelly. You got me jacked up over here talking about all these great shooters in this conference. And Brown Turner, just another one that's getting it done. I'm staying on the women's side as well for my athlete. How about Morgan Jones, number 24 from FSU, channeling her inner Black Mamba. Kobe Bryant had 26 points to help FSU there go for a huge victory over, at the time, number 3 Louisville. 12 of her points were free throws, Kelly. She got to the line 15 times. When you know it, when you know that you can take the person guarding you, you do it over and over. And that's exactly what she did on her way to 26 points. So Morgan Jones, my athlete of the week. Tell me about your coach, Kelly, because I'm a little bit disappointed. Listen, you haven't stolen my picks a ton this year, but this was one of them. But I'll let you go ahead. I'll let you go ahead and take all the praise here.
Well, first of all, Morgan Jones, great pick, Mac. She has really improved from last year. My coach of the week is Josh Pastner of Georgia Tech on the men's side. Now, if you're an ACC fan or a Clemson fan, you might remember, or a Georgia Tech fan, the game on February 12th at Clemson when Josh Pastner dented his face shield
It was a true,
to put it lightly, dented it.
COVID moment. I mean, that we never would have said that sentence before COVID. Dented the face shield, had to put it back on his face. It was quite an interesting
situation. Imagine, guys, if you didn't see it, imagine the Hulk smashing Loki back and forth like 10 times. That's what happened with the face shield. It was amazing.
And somehow the face shield survived, but they didn't have a backup face shield for him. So his face shield is all dented. Anyway, he recovered great from that. They went on to beat Pittsburgh on Sunday, but that wasn't this week. But still, they've won three in a row. This past week, they went to Miami and ran Miami, not just out of their own gym, Mac. I would say out of that city. I'm not sure any of those guys wanted to be seen in the city limits again. Beat them 87-60. It wasn't even that close. They just destroyed them. And then Tuesday night, went up to Virginia Tech, beat number 16 Virginia Tech 69-53 in Blacksburg. So two straight road wins. Georgia Tech is sneaky, sneaky, Mac, playing themselves onto the bubble. They're currently in the next four out. So keep an eye on Georgia Tech. They have Syracuse, Duke, and at Wake left. Syracuse and Wake are definitely very winnable. They get Duke at home in a rematch of a game they probably should have won in Cameron Indoor. Keep an eye on the Jackets.
Guys, listen, I know the ACC this year is down, quote unquote, and we don't have even a top 10 team. Even the number one team in our conference isn't in the top 10. But I promise you, when it comes to tournament selection time, there are going to be more ACC teams selected than not. And when tournament time comes around, there's going to be more ACC teams that win games and maybe are upsets on paper. So just keep
that's
an eye on
guarantee.
It. That's right. That's right. I don't know if it'll be true, but hey, I'm feeling myself right now. I'm going to my coach, and this may be surprising. It might actually be more surprising that we don't have, you know, more high caliber coaches mentioned in this thing. I feel like it's always a surprise or something happens. I'm going with Coach K at Duke. Listen, a week and a half ago, we thought Duke, 2 weeks ago, we thought there was no shot of them making the tournament. We thought they were done, left for dead, move on. He casually has led them back to four straight wins, looking to get right back in the tournament, which you and I both believe they will. And I think that's coaching. When you take a team and you can figure it out, when you lose your best player and you can figure it out, get these guys being cohesive, being together, figuring out who's who, and overall just bringing your guys up, you need to get credit for that. So I think Coach K, that staff, has done a great job. His guys are playing so hard. And I heard somebody today on ACC Network say that they are the most dangerous team. They think that Duke has figured it out, and they are on the rise. So we'll see if it's true. It's going to be a fun ACC tournament, but Coach K is my coach of the week.
It's a great pick, Mac. And we had this discussion in football season, where in your average ACC football season, most of the time Dabo Swinney is not going to be the coach of the year, but who's to say he isn't, right? Coach K has that as well. I don't know the last time Coach K won coach of the year, but I think he's done a really good job the last couple weeks bringing his team together. Now, maybe he shouldn't have recruited Jalen Johnson in the first place, but that's neither here nor there. The last week, I think he's done an excellent job. My craziness in our ACC, the final C, is this crazy stat, Mac. Now, this was coming into Wednesday. All right, I'll preface it by saying that. According to Danny Neckel on Twitter, when he does some stuff for Virginia, he found this great stat. Only three players in major conferences are shooting at least 58% from two, 44% from three, and 80% from the free throw line. All three of those guys play for Virginia. Jay Huff, our guest today, Trey Murphy, and Sam Hauser. 58% from two, 44% from three, 80% from the free throw line.
That is insane.
That is bonkers, Mac.
Absolutely nuts. And I think what is a little bit interesting is with basketball, or I mean with football, if you say something with major conference power five, that's like a whoa, crazy stat. Basketball, I do feel like there are some other guys that are, you know, mid-major and maybe not major conferences that I would love to just see the whole list, because I still bet that it's super impressive. But the fact that
in basketball, major conferences is an additional conference.
Right. There you go. Right. And so I think it is interesting enough that the fact that it is only three and the fact that all three of them are from UVA. It's an amazing stat. Great find, Kelly, for the podcast. My crazy is another list of very minimal teams shared by the great Tim Beret from Clemson University once, Notre Dame once upon a time, even older. Now he says he's retired. He's not retired. I see him just grinding and working like 24/7.
Yeah, he's not really retired.
I don't know it. I mean, if it's a title you want to have, I get it. I understand. But top 50 net teams with a top 10 strength of schedule and at least 9 quad one, quad two wins. Only teams in the entire country, not just major conferences, not just G5, P5, ACC, the whole country. West Virginia and the Clemson Tigers. Are you kidding me?
Wow.
What a statistic that is. I mean, that just goes to show you again the strength of the ACC and the fact of where they are. But this Clemson team that a lot of people, you know, I've seen that they're like an 8 or 9 seed right now. If that's the case, I still think they're going to shock and surprise a ton of people when it comes tournament time.
They're moving up, Mac. They're moving up. I could see Clemson end up with a 7 seed, perhaps a 6 seed. We'll see what happens, but an incredible stat. And it just goes to show, if you do your work early, if you beat some good teams early and help your resume, you can breathe a little easier later in the season. And Clemson has really helped itself with how it beat some really good teams earlier in the season.
No doubt. And I think, again, if we can keep people healthy and everybody can play, I think this ACC tournament is going to be bonkers. And I cannot wait to see it. It's going to be really, really good basketball for the future. So, Kelly, go ahead and tell us about our great friends over at Sunshine Beverages.
Tell Sam hi for me in the background.
Sam, quiet down or simmer down over there.
The official mascot.
That's right.
Graham Lincoln McLean. Our ACC of the week is brought to you by Sunshine. Guys, we know you're busy, you're on the go, and you want an easy, delicious boost, but you don't want to overload on caffeine. You want Sunshine. And let me tell you, Sunshine just came out with their sparkling energy waters. Y'all, these will change your life. They changed mine. Zero sugar, zero calories, great flavors like citrus lime, lotus pear, and pomegranate acai. So forget the boost and crash cycle. You want that feel-good energy. Get Sunshine today at your local Publix, QT, or even better, go online at drinkthesunshine.com and use our code ACC10 at checkout to save 10% on your order.
Kelly, you know it's another cool thing, and I mentioned it about Traeger, but with Sunshine too, we've had a handful of people saying, I went to Publix, I went to QT, it wasn't there. If you guys don't live in a particular place where it's available there, I promise, just go on the website. It's super easy.
Right.
You save money. It's going to be cheaper for you. So just do that. Go to drinkthesunshine.com, load up. I promise you, there's no bad flavors, Kelly.
And pretty soon they'll be worldwide.
That's right.
And you can
worldwide
find it
domination.
Wherever
it's going
to
be the podcast and Sunshine Beverages. That's our goal here.
Perfect. That's what we want to see. Our podcast, also Mac, is produced by Richmond Weaver. We appreciate his work each and every week. He does the dirty work. We'll just put it that way. Behind the scenes makes us sound good. Listen to his podcast, Rich Take on Sports, wherever you get your podcast, Apple Podcasts, or wherever. He interviews a bunch of great guests. So check that out today, Rich Take on Sports.
All right, guys, that's it for the week. Big thank you to Virginia Athletics, to Jay Huff for coming on to this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it just as much as we did. But that's another episode of Gramlich and McLean brought to you by our great friends over at Traeger Grills. Thank you all for listening. If you haven't already, go over to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, drop us a rating, a little review. It's always great to hear from y'all. But until next time, we'll see y'all.